This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast. Welcome to Province Sports Radio. We're talking Lions. I'm Patrick Johnston here in the beautiful studios of the Province. Jonathan's not here. He's on the road somewhere between here and Squamish taking his kid to camp. But returning to the lineup, Lowell Ulrich, who's found his voice, literally. Lowell, how are you?
I did literally find my voice. Sorry I missed last week because I was in bad shape. How you doing?
I'm well. I think I possibly even had the same ailment that you did. It seemed to go around. It hit me quick, and then it was gone, thankfully. So, yeah, I'm doing great. Weather's wonderful, and I've got a big weekend lined up. So there you go.
Well, here, we're in tree-bending mode, would you believe, on the prairies. That probably shouldn't come as a surprise. I'm looking outside my hotel room, and like I say, there are some smaller trees that are going in different directions than they're supposed to. So that just means it's a normal day.
Yeah, right. You blogged about that this morning. You know, obviously Richie Leone is going to have to learn a little bit about kicking at Canadian Stadium. Well, always hard to roll off the tongue.
He might have to learn that Investors Group Field, Canadian Stadium, is no more.
Whatever it is, I don't know. What is the stadium called? You tell me. I can't remember.
The one that's by the it's by the University of Manitoba and not by Polo Park. How's that?
Okay.
For inside knowledge of Winnipeg.
Take us through that though. I mean, you did a little story about it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of fun. But you know, for a guy like him, is there anything that he can really rely on having? You know, I mean, he's kicked in a few different places, but generally he's kicked in big collegiate stadiums where the wind maybe swirls a bit, but I don't imagine it's like it is in Winnipeg.
Well, that was my thought too, to be truthful. I mean, he kicked at the University of Houston, and you know, and their road schedule, he said, had games that he thought would be give him some background. But I tried to tell him that perhaps that might not be quite the case, because this is a different animal altogether. I believe. And I think it's also interesting too that, you know, the Lions choose not to go into the stadium a day early. This is a young team with a, you know, relatively new head coach in Jeff Tedford, although it's not his first rodeo, and literally or figuratively in some sense, I suppose. But here's Leone, who gets all this kind of help that, you know, you would expect a young kicker to get during the course of a work week at home. Don Sweet works with him all the time. But he doesn't travel, Sweet that is, and therefore Leone has to go on the road and sort of figure all this stuff out by himself. And so I pointed out to him when the club came into town late last night, I said, you see that corner over there? That's Portage in Maine, and that's the windiest corner in Canada. It's also the coldest. And you might just want to walk over there. If you've never been into the stadium you're going to kick, you might just want to walk over to give yourself an idea of what you're facing.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, he's been a key guy, but before we talk about this weekend, can we go back to last weekend? It was a game that the Lions seemed to be rolling along, doing well, and then all of a sudden they weren't, which I suppose is kind of the narrative you always get in the CFL, but people feeling a bit exasperated was the sense I got. The team is an interesting one, 2-2. You know, they've played some really nice stuff so far this year, and then they've also had some head scratchers. Am I wrong from that position?
Well, I think that, I mean, what we learned from that is that, you know, after the sort of, the initial shock of blowing a 21-point lead at home, which, by the way, had never been ever done by the Lions in their entire history in a game in which they went on to lose, you know, you sort of realize, well, this is the youngest team in the CFL, and
right.
What might you expect? I mean, these things are going to happen, and I'm not using that as an excuse for them, nor are they, but it does sort of give us, you know, some reason to understand how this is possible. But it can't happen very often. I mean, you know, this is a competitive league, and they can't afford to, you know, throw games in the toilet like they did, especially at home when they're having so much difficulty trying to win fan support.
This is a young team, as you mentioned. Jeff Tedford is a guy who has plenty of collegiate experience. Is this a bit like the Seahawks model with you know, that they, how they went so young a couple of years ago and then found success pretty quickly?
Well, they would love that that blueprint.
Obviously,
wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. Look and see. You know, it's a fairly good analogy there, Patrick. I mean, you know, nobody knew that Russell Wilson was going to capture lightning in a bottle. He didn't start, you know, as a pro quarterback right off the hop. Now he wants $25 million. You know, but, you know, he did identify, you know, once he figured out his system, I mean, he became successful. Well, the Lions are much better off in that regard because they have an established quarterback in Travis Lulley, who I don't think played particularly well in the second half of that game against Toronto, when it's kind of up to him to sort of, you know, right the ship this week.
I find it interesting, nonetheless, in the end, that we come back to Lulley. We look at, for instance, who you've highlighted on in your Lions game day package, Adam Big Hill on the other side of the ball, Andrew Harris, we know his importance. There are guys here that are well-established veterans that continue to be the key figures in the story, though.
Yeah, I mean, Lulley has to perform well in this team to win. So does Andrew Harris. So does Emmanuel Arsenault. I think if you have those three guys going in any given night, they give themselves an excellent chance. But I think the real concern for this team right now is what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball, because they cannot stop anybody. They have, you know, Adam Big Hill, as we point out, 13 tackles and one special teams tackle last week. You have Solomon Elamimian, you know, doing what he can, but it has to be the other guys on the field that make a difference. And quite frankly, you know, the collective group of that 10 is not producing what those two guys, those two linebackers are. And that's really where this boils down to in this game. It boils down to whether or not the Lions can get some kind of pressure on Drew Willey, who took a hellacious hit as the Winnipeg quarterback last weekend. If they can get to him, you know, they stand a chance to win. But I think we all have come to understand on this team so far this year and last, Patrick, is they cannot get to quarterbacks, and that's a real concern.
That more than anything really does seem to be the one thing from which everything else will flow. I mean, we certainly know the linebackers. You know, Ryan Phillips is back in the DBs, but as you said, if you're not getting any pressure up front, it doesn't really matter down the field, does it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is kind of a symbiotic relationship. You're right. If you get pressure, the coverage is okay. If the coverage is okay, maybe the pressure has a chance to get home. But, you know, you start with trying to fix one problem at a time. The Lions aren't getting to quarterbacks. They're last in sacks defensively. That puts pressure on a young group. Well, is it the young group's fault? Well, you know, I'm saying it goes back and forth, and what you have is a 2-2 team.
Something you wrote in your game day, you talk about how the focus has been placed on the likes of Craig Rowe and Michael Brooks, the two young defensive tackles, but as the experienced players in the rotation, namely Jamar Westerman and Kareem Smith, who must have greater impact. Why is that? I mean, to me, you put two young defensive tackles in there, you've got to believe that they're going to be able to do the job, but they haven't been able to do the job, so why shouldn't that be the story?
Well, I suppose you got to identify what the job is. On the outside, we talk about trying to get more pressure, where the Lions look at it differently. They say, look, don't get guys, you know, what they call gap cancellation, which just means don't let somebody get between you and run past you offensively. So, I mean, there's a different approach being taken to it, at least as the players explain it. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Mark Washington, their defense coordinator, doesn't send extra pressure. You can't afford to send Solly or Adam Big Hill, because, you know, they're gonna get exposed in the back end. You can only send a guy like Josh Johnson or Stephen Clark or these kinds of guys from the defensive secondary once in a while, because quarterbacks pick up on that and they know it's pretty much man coverage at that point. So there's a lot of things that go into it. You know, you can cite the fact that there are young tackles that the Lions appear willing to want to live with, as it were. So that means that there's got to be a little bit more production required of the more experienced players like Smith and like Jabbar Westerman.
Mark Washington, you bring up, I was just sort of sitting there thinking, this is a guy that was a defensive back, was a defensive backs coach, has been the defensive coordinator, you know, since last year. How common is it for guys from the back of the defense to be in the top job?
Oh, good question. I'm going to have to think about that and see how the last guy who was a defensive coordinator who played in the defensive secondary. I know guys who I think could be good defensive coordinators. I think of a guy here in Winnipeg that BC Lions fans know only too well. It's Baron Miles. Been a few years removed from him as being perhaps but maybe the best safety the Lions ever had. He went to Saskatchewan this year. He's a defensive back coach in Winnipeg, and I think Baron Miles is a candidate to be a defensive coordinator someday soon. But, it is requiring of a special makeup, and it's interesting, of course, that, you know, we speak of Mark Washington very highly, and I certainly respect the man greatly. A year ago he was being touted as the next head coach in this league. You don't hear that quite as much around lately.
Yeah, it was just more just thinking about how coaches, you know, tend to develop, and obviously he has spent a fair bit of time on the sidelines now, so it's not like he hasn't been able to see what the rest of the team is doing, but I got to believe a guy playing defensive back, you know, obviously has lots to learn about what the guys are doing up front, and if you're talking about strategy, that's going to be a challenge sometimes.
Well, that's true. I mean, but that said, Ryan Phillips said it this week in one day after practices. It's one thing to coach them up on the sidelines.
Yeah.
It sure means a heck of a lot difference if you can be on the field. And I think the Lions, and most notably Ryan Phillips, are glad that he's back on the field after, you know, missing a couple and prior to going 181 straight.
So we've talked a lot about the defense. Drew Willey, as you've already mentioned, hit hard on the weekend. The second time he's been hobbled this season. We've got to wonder about his mobility. It seems to me this is well set up for a breakout game from the defensive line.
Yeah, that's my take on it, too. I mean, if they can't get to a guy who's not a very mobile quarterback, who are they going to get to? They didn't get to Kevin Glenn. Maybe they can get to this guy. And if they can, then the Bombers have to go to a really unproven talent in Brian Brohm as their backup. But then again, I think about games I've been in Winnipeg in the past where, you know, the quarterback of the day, I think of a game where Buck Pierce was knocked out and had to go to a guy by the name of Alex Brink, and he steamrolled Winnipeg to a win over the Lions. So complacency is not an attribute you'd want to have if you're the BC Lions right now, and they really can't afford it after they, like I say, coughed up that 21-point furball last week.
It was a furball. Have they dismissed what happened, or was it a focus this week in terms of how to fix things?
Well, I think it's really interesting. It's an interesting question. I mean, I asked that of Jeff Tedford. Last night I said, does this game tell you more about your team and what kind of backbone it has? And his answer was pretty traditional, I suspect, in that, you know, he talked about how players have to sort of flush, you know, you get a game out of your system, and you try to, you know, you have to move on because you have to be resilient. But he said that he said he thought that his team internalized, that was his word, internalized the loss and gotten rid of it and had a good week of practice. So we'll find out tonight whether or not this team does have some resiliency, because really, quite frankly, we don't know until they go through it.
All right, LU, I assume you need to pack a jacket because of the wind. Is that a fair thing to say?
I think that's probably in my plans, yes. A windbreaker, maybe a toque. I mean, you really should have one around here. It's Winnipeg, isn't it?
Yes, and, you know, I mean, all I can think about, was it last year in Hamilton that you froze to death? Was that where it was? I'm trying to remember now.
In fact, I did tell that story to one of the players last night. It was the worst game I'd ever covered because I couldn't, my fingers were so cold I couldn't type. But thankfully we're indoors tonight, and hopefully all will be well for game time.
At Investors Group Field, as I am now going to be reminding myself. So there we go. All right, LU, thanks for joining us, and I guess we'll catch up with you next week.
Anytime.